Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 28th of September, recording at 3:08 p.m. British Summer Time. Earlier than usual, but I've got Siegfried, the third section of the Wagnerian Ring Cycle, here this evening, and a very good cycle it has been at Covent Garden, better than a couple of years ago. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook of the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets, generally firm, and these have been led by markets such as India, Australia, some of the other Asian markets, China, very much Hong Kong, China, which had slowed, burst into life here again today in terms of its A-share market. But overall, it's been a pretty good performance overall. The big question marks remain over banks which have lagged. The Western banks and the Japanese banks, that is, although there are some glimmers of hope even there. And long-dated government bonds, a generally steady performance in here, including today. These markets are paying more attention to the evidence of economic slowdown in the USA and Europe than they are to the inflationary pressures, which are not across the board, but are certainly evident in commodity prices. So in other words, weak economic data out of the U.S. counts a lot more in their minds than a move upwards in gold, which is at least partially a reflection of, indeed more than partially, the weakness of the U.S. dollar. And precious metals have had an absolutely stunning week, consolidating with very little give up of overall trend or overall gains within these trends. And we've had some dramatic breakouts, platinum, that's a key here, and currently up $25 as I speak. And in the soft commodities, it's been a generally strong performance here. Ditto crude oil, which is up again, 38.45, I beg your pardon, 83.45 as I speak. What a Freudian slip that was. I don't think we'll ever see 38 again for the crude oil price. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, surprise for some is the strength that we're actually seeing in markets, especially when the crisis word has certainly been prevalent in all media and just about all reports going out for a number of weeks, even several months. And given some of the apocalyptic forecasts were being made, and some of those people are now saying, well, the Fed's done all the wrong things and so on, but I don't want to go down that path again. I think the moves by the Fed were good. I think it provided good leadership, as I've said before. And yes, of course, there's an inflationary price price to pay, but I think most people would probably prefer in dealing with inflation than in dealing with a crunching recession, perhaps depression, and understandably so. Now, also, the strength that we're seeing is not all that surprising, given the liquidation that occurred beforehand with funds, in particular, reducing leverage very, very considerably, and some huge short positions had clearly been established. So stock markets have benefited threefold, and that is from short covering, from some of the people who had just lowered their investment positions generally, scrambling back in rising markets. How many times has that happened to people over the last 5 years? And some return of risk appetite. Well, where's it all going? And more importantly, when do we next need to be concerned? Well, as I've said before, that first it won't carry on in a straight line like this. When some of the leading markets, such as Hong Kong and India, when they lose upside momentum and go into what I suspect will be a relatively small reaction and trading range, when that occurs, you'll know that we're likely to see a diminution of momentum pretty well across the board shortly thereafter. But I don't think that's a big worry. I suspect that will just be consolidation, assuming that that happens sometime next month, rather than markets just accelerating up through the roof, which I don't expect. Now, I think that the environment remains favorable, and having just had all of that, they were just having had that big affright, that's very, very unlikely to be repeated in the near term, meaning the next few weeks. We're also in a period that is favorable seasonally. We're also in the third year of a U.S. election cycle, which is a favorable period as well. So I do think that a favorable tailwind for global stock markets will persist really through most of the fourth quarter and into the first quarter, possibly well into the first quarter of 2008. That's enough for now. Let's see what happens if that forecast works out and what patterns look like when we actually get there. What concerns me more is to identify and discuss when we can do so calmly the next problems that I envisage. And I've talked so often about three things. One would be a spike in oil prices. We're seeing strong oil prices, particularly in US dollar terms, but not a spike. Oil has not broken to new all-time high ground against all currencies. So that's not a problem at the moment. For oil to spike, I think there would have to be some major threat to production. Not impossible, but we don't have that at the moment, and hopefully that's avoided. The other one would be the next surge in U.S. bond yields. I remain hopeful that we're not going to see that for a number of months. The other factor that would really worry me would be persistent to accelerating decline by the US dollar. That's the biggest risk at the moment. Now, currently it's not a problem. It is helping the US and very much a tailwind for Wall Street, a little bit of a headwind for some other markets, and not least in Europe. But it's not a problem, but perceptions can change very, very quickly in markets. And if we see the dollar's decline becoming a front page item, particularly if it becomes an emotive front page item, if we start hearing about crisis of confidence in the US and dollar collapse, this type of thing, then the environment will become considerably more dangerous. And that is a real risk. But there is also a real possibility that we see the dollar range sufficiently to offset that more accelerated rate of decline, which I think, as I've already said, would be a problem. Now, assuming that we don't get a dollar problem over the next few months, and that's a big assumption, I put it at about 50-50 if I were to guess on what the possibilities, probabilities actually are. Assuming that, though, that we don't get that type of environment where we get another scramble to liquidity because people have become extremely alarmed by the US dollar's decline. But then I think we have to telegraph further ahead, probably well into 2008, when people will look around and they'll say, well, you know, the actual recession fears were greatly exaggerated. Even the US has pulled through without a recession. And we still have the global economy synchronized in a period of economic expansion, which has, if anything, picked up in Chindia and the resources producers, my favorite areas, incidentally, as you well know. And therefore, instead of worrying about a credit crisis and a possible recession, people focus on the inflationary pressures, and inflation spreads from the commodities area into other regions of the global economy. That would then, of course, cause central banks to say, well, we did the right thing by holding back on rate hikes or actually lowering rates when the subprime problems were at their height. And that succeeded, so now we can go back to our earlier strategy of tightening to rein in the inflationary pressures. Now, that would be bad for gold, it would be bad for commodities, it would be bad for stock markets generally. I'm not sure how that would play out for long-dated government bonds. Might be negative for them as well, but we would have to see. Now, I think central banks are much more likely to do that if bond yields start to push up quite strongly. If bond yields stay relatively low, then we could easily see, and I'm talking about next year, we could easily see a little bit of tightening, but it would be the surging long-dated government bond yields that would cause them to really start tightening monetary policy, and that would create at minimum another medium-term correction. Now, incidentally, I had a good email yesterday which asked me to define some of these terms from a comparatively new subscriber. I think he's been subscribing for 6 months or so, and I was grateful for the opportunity because I use terms that I know exactly what I mean, and veteran subscribers who have been taking Fuller Money for years and years and years will be very familiar with my lingo and jargon, but newer subscribers, of course, will not. So it does need to be explained from time to time. I think I had quite a well, I had a good opportunity yesterday. So if you missed that in comment of the day and are interested in the subject, you might want to have a look at that. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, again, I expect stock markets to remain generally in good form, but watch the reaction, watch the dollar, and watch the reaction to the US dollar. I expect the same sectors to be leading, and that, to repeat it just to guess yet again, would be the Asian markets, Chindia to the fore, and the resources producers around the world also doing extremely well. Oil's a laggard in terms of the share performance here overall, but I think that really reflects the problems and costs that big oil, for instance, is having in replacing reserves. And frankly, they're not going to be able to replace reserves, which are being increasingly concentrated in the hands of some fairly authoritarian governments, from Russia to Venezuela, as you will be well aware. So I'm less keen on that sector than others. Now, the long-dated government bonds, I'm hopeful that they can range around these levels with yields not backing up too quickly, but it all depends on psychology, and we need to keep an eye on these charts, and we certainly will be doing that, and I recommend that you do that as well. I do expect the US dollar to move lower. I've already said I'm hoping, though, that the decline will be punctuated by some ranging rallies. I think we've got another new low in here, new all-time low on the US dollar index here today. So as I say, I'm hoping that there will be periodic rallies of dollar short covering to check this slide. Now, I have been increasing my long positions in precious metals, and I started to do so when I held on to some before going on to holiday, but I've increased significantly since returning from holiday, and fortunately that's been useful so far in terms of performance. But my interest, my more aggressive tactics are really due to the improvement in the performance of gold against all currencies, always such an important point. And I say this as a point against myself, that when gold is not performing against all currencies, I tend to hang around too long, hoping that it'll start performing against them again. And the smarter thing to do, which some of you do, is just wait until it does start performing in all currencies once again. Otherwise, if they preempt that, it's usually sort of whipsaw environment, and one's scrambling around to break even. But this looks like a really good move. And yes, if we do get a technical rally in the dollar, it would cause a little bit more volatility in the precious metal trends, but they have been pretty much a one-way street so far. In leveraging up, I have also pushed up stops. Next week, if this continues, I may leave positions with a little bit more breathing room, but I'll have plenty of time to assess that as we go on. I think this can be has a good chance of being a really strong move in precious metals, and that could cause some eyebrow-raising gains, even among the bulls in this sector. And of course, we see it in the futures, which is the main way that I play it, although I also have a little bit of share representation and fund representation in the gold shares. And of course, for the most conservative investors, there are those bullion funds. Now, agricultural commodities, more difficult to trade, at least in my experience, but some of them are doing very well here right now. It is a hot, fashionable sector. I think that will remain the case for a while longer. The additional liquidity that central banks pumped into the system is, of course, helping to fuel these gains in stock markets, in the precious metal markets, and also, well, the industrial metals have certainly firmed up here as well, and it's helping to fuel the gains, some speculative play against this bullish fundamental background for most of the agricultural commodities as well. It won't last forever, but as some genius said, make hay while the sun shines, and that's what we're doing, or at least I hope that you're participating in some of this as well. It's been a good week, and on that note, I'll just say have a fabulous weekend, a nice rest, and I look forward to carrying on next week, when, of course, Owen will be back, and won't it be interesting to hear about Shanghai? Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.